News. I'm Dave McGrath. 10 past 8, the morning show with Greg Berg is next.
Welcome you to the Wednesday Morning Show on WGTD. I'm Gregory Berg. Very happy to be sitting across the console from Brian Albrecht, the president of Gateway Technical College. And we have a special guest from the National Coalition of Certification Centers that we'll be getting to in just a moment. First, President Albrecht, we welcome you back to the morning show, and we better explain to our listeners why your voice sounds as raw and hoarse as it does this morning. Well, it's for the happiest of reasons.
Good morning, Greg, and my smile has not stopped since last night, and I just want to congratulate the franchise of the Milwaukee Bucks on their world championship last night. And you're right, I had a chance to go to the game, and today I'm feeling the repercussions of that a little bit, but it was worth every minute and every cheer that I shouted out. So a lot of people, I'm sure all of our listeners saw all the pictures on the news, and it was very exciting and just a great story. And I know that this the game last night and the journey to the championship is going to live on for many decades.
Absolutely. Well, we're glad you had the chance to be there for that exciting game. Maybe not quite as exciting, but significant in its own way, is the board retreat, which you just came back from. What happened there?
Well, thank you so much. Yeah, every year we spend a day with our board just going through some strategic planning, thinking about what the future has to hold. And, of course, this year we spent much of our day talking about what the journey is that we've just gone through. Really surviving the pandemic, and we know that it's not over, but we've put so many new systems in place in order to help keep our campus safe and provide the unique services for our students. And I just wanted to compliment our board for their continued vision and for the hard work. I would also like to share with our community that Dr. Scott Pierce was reelected as our board chair, and Pamela Zenner Richards will be serving as our vice chair. Very proud of both of them. They continue to give out of their time and their expertise to the college through leadership, and that was really great. We also welcomed a new trustee, Jason Tadlock, from the Elkhorn School District. So Jason's going to be continuing his work in helping build relationships between our college and our K-12 partners representing the superintendent. So a great day. I was very proud and look forward to this new year.
You want to tell our listeners about a new grant, and they may be surprised to hear where or from whom this grant comes to Gateway Technical College.
This is always one of my favorite grant announcements. It is our third time that we're receiving a grant from the rock band Metallica, so rock on. And it's very fun. They have a foundation that they established called All Within My Hands, and I didn't know this until a couple of years ago, but the band in the cities that they play at do a lot of volunteer work, primarily around food insecurity. They collect donations and they give back to that particular community. A couple of years ago, they wanted to do something broader on a national level and partnered with the American Association of Community Colleges, and we had applied for one of their grants and received it. It helps support the area of telecommunications. So it's really full tuition for students to participate in training programs that are going to improve their lives. And there were only a handful, 10 colleges were selected. It was so successful that the rock band decided they were going to have a second round, and we applied again, and we received a second grant. That time it was for the CNC manufacturing area. And, of course, again, the story played out that we had an opportunity this year to apply for a third grant, just announced that we received it, and it's going to support advanced manufacturing. So thank you to everyone that works so hard on those grants, not just that one, but all of our grants, because they provide some really unique opportunities for our community members to receive a great education here at Gateway.
Fantastic. Finally, I know that there are some important so-called fast-track events that really help kind of get things rolling for students and staff alike as we approach the fall semester.
Yeah, and they're not racetrack events, right? these are registration events to help people kind of work through the system. We bring all of our support staff together, from advising to financial aid to career preparation and scheduling and so on, and all of those people are together at one time, and they can help students move through the system or navigate through the system much quicker. We held one last week on the Kenosha campus. It was very successful, and I just want to share with our community that we're going to have two more. July 27th will be on the Racine campus, and then on July 29th we'll be over on the Elkhorn campus. And you can really take care of all of your application materials at one time and be registered and become a Gateway Redhawk within that evening. So hopefully folks will come out for it.
Fantastic. We have a very special guest who has joined us before on the morning show. Tell our listeners your close connection with Roger Tarievsky.
Oh, I'd be honored to, and I want to thank Roger. He's joining us from Texas today, so he's going to be on the call. Yesterday he was in Kenosha on campus, so he gets around a little bit. But Roger and I have been colleagues and friends for so many years. I met Roger probably over 20 years ago already, working with the National Occupational Testing Institute and Skills USA, a student organization. And from there, Roger has really become instrumental in helping us build out a national network of colleges and high schools to build certification platforms to help students not only achieve great educational credentials, but also industry credentials. And I want to thank Roger for participating on the call today.
Fantastic. So, Roger Tarievsky, we welcome you back to the morning show. So you were literally in Kenosha yesterday?
Yep, I was in Kenosha actually from Saturday morning through late last night, and caught a flight from Milwaukee, and I am in Fort Worth, Texas today.
Well, very good. Well, we're glad that you can you can join us. Although you've been with us before, and some of our listeners might remember something about you, there are certainly people listening who are not going to know where you're from originally and kind of your professional background that ultimately led you to become executive director of the National Coalition of Certification Centers. So give us at least the capsule summary.
Yeah, well, thank you to that, Brian. Great, again, to spend some time with you on the radio show here. Of course, I saw you, you know, on Monday, and I'll do some talking here and allow you to rest your voice. But congratulations on the Bucks win. I landed just in time last night to be able to watch the last 4 minutes of the game, and how exciting I know the whole game was exciting, but I was happy to be able to watch that here at the hotel in Fort Worth when I landed. So you know, I'm a product of career and technical education. I grew up in a small town in northern Michigan, Alpena, Michigan, and went through career and technical education, specifically in the automotive area, that allowed me to take those skills that I learned in high school and go on to diesel and technical education, and further my education with what is now Fiat Chrysler. It was Chrysler Corporation at the time. But then that led me into the oil field and gas industry, where I got into materials development and metallurgy with TRW in Houston in the 80s. That led to, again, these same skill sets allowed me to go to work for Rockwell Corporation and worked on space shuttle main engines and in Southern California, all on research and development, as well as Atlas and Delta Rockets. While I was on that journey, got my degree in business from Pepperdine University. And during that time frame, I met Jack Smith, who was a chairman and CEO of General Motors at the time. And that's about the time, Brian, we probably met. This was in the early 90s during the Clinton administration, and they had began to really pay attention to the need of the skilled workforce of the future. Actually, your former governor there, Brian, you probably remember, Governor Tommy Thompson, the School to Work Initiative with the Clinton administration kind of got things going where we initially met through NACD and Skills USA to create some career pathways for high school students into industry. And that was some early work to how do we help improve our technical education system in the country. It was a great system. But as we all know, technology moves very quickly and continues to do that. During that time, Brian and I worked extensively, primarily in the automotive focus. Brian became president of Gateway. I was working on many things with the auto industry. And then, somewhere, I guess it was around 2007, the need to really truly develop strong partnerships between education and industry really became the forefront, and that was the beginning of a National Coalition of Certification Centers, otherwise known as NC3. And so that was formed in the brains of incubated, I guess you might say, with Brian and a couple other colleagues, great chancellors across the country, Dr. Lee Lambert and Pima Community College down in Tucson, Francis Tuttle Technology in Oklahoma City, Lawson State down in Alabama were the early pioneers that helped develop what is now NC3. And I've been very honored to be able to help lead that organization or this organization and grow it to where it is today.
Well, Roger, we're super excited to hear more about some of the developments with NC3, but I'm always inspired when I hear your story because I know the journey you've been on, and it must be really interesting in this particular time now to think of the work you did with Rockwell and the space shuttle program, to think, we've got, Jeff Bezos and private partnerships, and people are flying to outer space, and it's an incredible time for all of us, and I can only imagine what that reflection point must be, and to know that, really career and technical education students that are graduates now are doing that really highly skilled work. It's great to hear that.
So, Roger Tedievsky, NC3, it was all about addressing a need to get the world of industry and the world of education more carefully and sort of thoughtfully, purposefully aligned. Tell us about that moment when you put NC3 together and what kinds of things you thought about in terms of what needed to happen and how best to make them happen.
Yeah, thank you, Greg. Technical education and our community colleges across, we've got a phenomenal network of community colleges in this country and career tech centers and four-year institutions as well. But the challenge has become over the really last 20-some years is because of the speed of technology, which is, that just didn't happen. It's been going on for over a century. If we think back to the late 1800s, early 1900s, we were moving from horse and buggy to cars and electricity, and this is just a continuum of humankind continuously advancing, and our society's advancing, and our community's advancing. But along the way, how do we collaborate better? How do we partner together? And that also comes back to our communities and our community colleges. So what NC3 is, we began to look at that is, yes, any community college, whether it's Gateway Tech or Gateway Technical College or Madison or UW Stout, or if I'm down here in Fort Worth today at Tarrant Community College or Dallas College, they know their community and what's going on, but there's also the global pieces that are going on. So how do community colleges collaborate in these areas of competency-based education so that industry, as we know, continues to expand and have multiple locations, can work with these community colleges, but know that there's some kind of basic collaboration when it comes to competencies that, what's being learned in Wisconsin is aligned with what's in Texas or vice versa, and how could that be better collaborated together? And from a professional development, how do we help our instructors get better connected to industry? So that was one core pillar, is how do we get all of our colleges working together collaboratively? So that's one major tenet of NC3. The second part then, of course, was how do we get industry working better with education, right? And our great partners right there in Kenosha, Wisconsin, Snap-on Tool Corporation was one of our first, or the first, global industry partner to work with NC3. And, of course, then Trane Technologies was second, and I'll kind of get to those here in a little bit. But then how do we bring that collaboration between education and industry together to create industry-developed, industry-recognized certifications that then can be stacked, be transportable, so that industry knows, regardless of where they are in this country, that they can work with these community colleges, they can hire from that. That drives economic development, that drives our social fabric within our communities. And the biggest part of this, it gives our youth, our emerging workforce in our communities, that ability to be able to go out and get skill sets, just like I did back in 1978. The skill sets that I learned at Alpina allowed me to work on the space shuttle main engine. Those core skill sets around pneumatics, hydraulics, and so forth, along with the engineering pieces and all the academic pieces, but those skill sets I still use today.
Yeah, Roger, that's so true, and I know that you know this, but the CEO for Snap-on, Nick Pinchuk, often uses the term alignment, and how do we align the interests and needs of education with the needs and interests of employers. And that whole pathway that you just described, that partnership between education and industry, is really fundamental to sustaining not only the local economies and the job opportunities for students, but the business side of our economy as well. So I think you're so right, and that's better understanding the language and the types of resources available to build that alignment, and NC3 does a great job with that.
Mr. Chadievsky, can you explain how NC3 is put together? I mean, how many people are we talking about, and just kind of basically how you function?
Well, you know, it's a great question. You know, Brian and I kind of were talking about this last week during our virtual leadership, and I know we'll get to that later here. But, back in 2007, we had a great idea, a tremendous vision, and five schools that we and a couple industry partners that came together, and we said, well, what if we could bring this together, what a difference that would make in our communities, right? And so here we are today with over 1,000 schools participating in NC3. We've got the instructor, when you think about the core parts of NC3, we are always focused on the instructor in the classroom that is engaged with these students, our students in our communities every day, and we think about, the high school or K-12 school year typically is 180-day calendar year. But when we think about our community colleges and our communities, it's really, almost year-round because they have sessions during the summer. They have their normal semesters. They also have stuff on weekends. They're doing incoming worker training. They're doing evening training. They have a tremendous network of adjunct instructors that are always engaged in our community. So it's really, nonstop in that. So that instructor is so important in our community. So that's a core part of that. And then, of course, making sure that we've got great competency-based curriculum that can be embedded into these programs, so that the students can get it there, that they can get it in short-term training. And, Kenosha Gateway Technical College is one of our leading colleges in the country in delivering incumbent worker training. How do we help these existing workers upskill and help those companies grow in that? So the other part of NC3, from day one, is always about helping every student in the classroom. And what we mean by that is our tremendous global partners they underwrite the cost of the certification. So there is no cost to a student to get these certifications. There's their tuition, those kind of things that are paid at the local level. But from an NC3 standpoint, we help every student, regardless of their social economic background. Every student that goes through Gateway and goes through an NC3 class or where certifications are embedded are going to get that certification. There is no charge. And that really helps what we believe that from day one is help those students that, you know, some people say, well, they need a second chance just to get back in. Well, Roger Tedeschi says, we got to give them their first chance. let's give them their first chance. Because, you know, if we help every one of those students be part of their community, get that skill set that allows them to walk into and engage with an employer and say, this is what I studied, this is what I know, and this is what I can do day one, and I can articulate that because I went through not only the knowledge, but the hands-on part of this stuff, and I've got a certification that comes from 3M or from Snap-on. That is, those are assets that they carry into the community, into the workplace, and help support their families.
For those of you just joining us, today's morning show is being spent with Brian Albrecht, the president of Gateway Technical College, and with Roger Tadievsky, who is executive director for the National Coalition of Certification Centers. And we're talking about the training and curriculum and certification that is part of what NC3 delivers all across the country. So you have been at Gateway Technical College hosting some national training. So tell us that is like. I mean, what has been happening and how it has been going?
Oh, fantastic. Well, again, thank you to Gateway Technical College and the community. We're hosting this national train of trainers being held at Gateway Technical College this week. We have a little over 160 instructors in from around the country. But to back up a little bit about that is you know, part of the core part of NC3, as I mentioned on the instructors, is professional development. So how do we help those instructors not only get the information and the content, but help them with the why? The why is the welding processes, whether it's robotics or gas metal arc or certain things in medical industry versus, say, the pipeline industry versus, say, a processing industry. What are the whys and why is welding done one way in one industry versus another way? Well, you know, our great partner, Lincoln Electric, brings those things to that. And, you know, whether that's Snap-on or 3M or Festo Corporation around automation and pneumatics and hydraulics, the whole world of Industry 4.0 and data analytics, those things. So we got to always bring that why. And that's important because our students in our classrooms need to know the why of what they're learning because that's really their passion and where they're going to take their careers and understanding that why. So this week, we're doing our 43rd trainer. Boy, Brian, isn't that something from back in 2009 when we hosted our first trainer? So we've done 43 sessions in-person trainer. We've trained over 5,000 instructors in the last 11, 12 years. Greg, now the other key part of that is during the pandemic, we actually accelerated. When we were in March and April across the country, everybody was figuring out, well, how much are we going to slow down? Well, yeah, we probably had about a 3 or 4 week period of where we were like, okay, how do we do this? But our industry partners and, of course, the frontline workers and the infrastructure of the economy kept on rolling and needed to keep rolling. So what we did was we converted some of our in-person training to virtual training. And I'm happy to say that, you know, our national network, when I say our country's national network of community colleges and career tech centers not only stepped up, but accelerated their training. We went from June 1, 2020 to just this last May, and over 1,000 instructors across this country went through our virtual hands-on trainer. It was just historic numbers. That deserves a tremendous applaud across this country that these were instructors that were making sure we had electricians and we had welders and the trucks kept rolling and safety was there and automation was not only happening, but as you know, when we're trying to make more toilet paper and more paper towels and masks and stuff, that required the infrastructure and the supply chain to not only hum 24/7, but it had to grow. And our technical colleges were at the forefront of making sure that that infrastructure piece happened. So back to the question of the train-to-trainer, these instructors are just ecstatic this week. The amount of energy in the classroom of them, you know, getting together, being still socially conscious and safety. We've gone through all those protocols this week, and every day we do that. But the energy in that class, in these classrooms and Gateway that are going to be carried back out across the country, is just ecstatic. The last 2 days there in Kenosha was like being at a Bucks game. These instructors are the champions.
Yeah, Roger, I can verify that because I was at both yesterday. I had a chance to visit with them, some of our instructors that were going through the Kubota training, the Steyr training, the Snap-on training, the Lincoln Electric training, the Tormach training. And I remember back, you know, this 11 years ago, the first six instructors, two from Shoreline in Washington, two from Francis Tuttle in Oklahoma, and two from Gateway. And here you are, you know, over 1,000 instructors being trained just in one summer. So just so proud of all that that you're doing. And you hit on some really key points. The heart and soul of the success in a classroom is the teacher. And so to help build that engagement process and a full understanding of the content aligned with industry really adds value to the learning for students. Hmm.
There's, of course, a real urgency about all of this because of the lack of skilled workers all across the country. I mean, it's a problem, and it seems to be growing even more acute. So I should think your industry partners have to be very much involved in this training and have, to say the least, very much a vested interest in it.
Absolutely. The unique thing, but the most important thing with our industry partners is they are all global leaders in, you know, you can look at sales and that's one number, but that's really not our focus. Our focus is these are global leaders that have a history, decades, in most cases with all of our industry partners, a century. They're all 100 years old. They have been knowing from day one about innovation, market leadership, and bringing new technologies in the market, into the market that advance humankind, help our lives be better, safer, and better, and allow us to compete in the global marketplace. And so they are just engaged with helping every student. This is so important to them that they know that whether they go to work in the with their brand is great, but the bigger part is that they are able to go into the community and get a job and be part of that social fabric that at the end of the day helps the United States grow in a very positive, collaborative, and helps advance our social engagement. And that is, we've got great industry partners that have that vision, care, not only, and of course, they're engaged at a global level, they really do care what's happening in our local small towns and everything in between. So that is just a key part of what we're doing.
You know what I find interesting, Roger, too, is of course they're involved in our training, train-the-trainer workshops and items like that and the alignment and development of the content, but they're here throughout the entire process. We have career days,
yes.
You know, they're here, they're part of our national signing day. Our industry partners have made, as you said, a full commitment to supporting schools and faculty throughout the entire year, and they've done it year after year, so we're extremely grateful and proud of those partnerships.
President,
what I would add to that, Brian and Greg, is you're absolutely right on signing day. You know, just that alone, we celebrate and help our communities for the young men and women that are in eighth grade, ninth grade, that are going, you know, making that career path choice to be able to go to a Gateway Technical College, or I'm here in Fort Worth at a Tarrant Community College, you know. And also, let's not forget about our instructors. We touched on the instructors at our community college, but I'm sure Brian will tell you, He needs to hire more instructors as instructors retire or he is expanding program. So from a workforce development, these global partners are also helping us develop and partner and incubate you know, all those right words for the next generation of instructors that not only are in our classroom but represent our community. So we've got a strong, we've always had a strong DEI commitment to our communities, but even more now as we continue to, you know, develop and work with our community colleges and our industry partner to get more instructors into our high schools and our communities that work with our community. That, again, another avenue to help engage young people in the tremendous opportunities and career paths in technical education.
President Albrecht tells me that last week you hosted a virtual administrators leadership conference. Tell us about that and what the purpose of that was, what the goals were.
Wow, that was awesome. You know, it was 3 days, 3 hours each day. I was jokingly with our team saying, you know, as we put that all together, we felt like we put 3 years of a miniseries on HBO together in 3 days and ran that thing. But, you know, in the virtual world, there's a lot of things because you can reach a lot of people. But it takes a lot of coordination and collaboration to, you know, we had over 50 speakers in 3 days and panels from the future of electrification to manufacturing and industry 4.0 to next generation of instructors to, you know, advances in the whole part of instructor development and how do we create centers of excellence? How do we help our programs at our local level grow and be a community center of excellence? So it was fabulous. Matter of fact, Brian, you know, from our virtual leadership conference, it's, you know, I'm down here for a lot of reasons in Texas the next couple of days, but, you know, I'm going to be having an opening meeting here in about 30 minutes with one of your counterparts, Dr. Gene Giovanti from Tarrant Community College and the chancellor. And I know he will be excited to know that I'm here and we're broadcasting back to Kenosha, Wisconsin. I'm sure he will encourage the Bucks, but I'm sure he'll be saying that the Dallas Cowboys will be ready for the Green Bay Packers this year. So,
well, that might be a little bit of a stretch, Roger, when you say that. But tell Gene I said hello. And you know, you're really so right on this because, first of all, we focus on the instructors, which is critical, but we also know that there are other systems in education that need the same level of opportunity to learn and become engaged. So whether it's a dean or you know, a vice president of a program or even a president of a college or university, that focus that you've put together on the leadership, the administrative leadership, is critical because those partnerships have to be sustained outside of the classroom. And I think that's what this focus was, and I was really proud to be a part of it. And the fact that you know, in a matter of weeks, we put together a 3-day virtual conference and then turn right around and get in the plane and fly to Kenosha, your whole team, to support a face-to-face conference. That's a great tribute to their leadership.
Right. Well, and the importance of that virtual leadership, too, Brian, as you know, is that this year we also had a lot of high schools and high school communities join us on the virtual leadership because, you know, Greg, you know, each of our communities, the K-12 school district, working with our community colleges has never been more important. It works. It's great, and we've done tremendous work. But as we come out of this pandemic and we talk about this, you know, we see it on the morning, every breakfast, about the skill shortage, and we need, you know, businesses that are limited, not because of cash flow or limited because of infrastructure, that they need quality skilled workers. And how do we, and as our pandemic comes out, as we get past the pandemic and vaccinations and all this stuff, you know, the key is going to be our communities, and that's the high schools and our community colleges. You know, so if you take, you know, Gateway, you know, Brian, you probably, you know, I know you've got three counties there, you probably have 20, 30 high schools that feed into you. You know, I was with one of our colleges that was there yesterday, North Central out of Missouri, that was not only at training but touring to figure out how to improve their programs. Well, they're in Central Missouri. They got 64 high schools that feed into their community college system. And they said, you know, on this virtual leadership, they said, wow, we came away with some great things. We know we can't do it all overnight, but but here's some fundamental steps that we collectively, Brian, you know, and all of our panelists last week shared with them about how to get started. They don't have to reinvent the wheel. That comes back to the original tenets of NC3, is that we can help schools across the country, new administrators, existing administrators, share our knowledge that are not only just best practices, but how to implement, whether you're in small town or big town, and they're not doing it alone. And we can work with economic development groups. We can work with the policymakers to help accelerate these things in a very organized way, a meaningful way, in an equity way to help those things. So that last week was just phenomenal. And we've got many steps going forward that we'll be building in throughout the 21-22 school year.
Hmm. You have already talked about how the events of the COVID-19 pandemic compelled you, as so many other entities, to switch to virtual formats for certain things, including, of course, your training. What was that process like, to have to sort of come up with that, to deliver what you do in a different way? And what do you think you learned, and what might you take with you forward, even as we sort of slowly return to something a little bit more like normal?
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, the good news for NC3 going into this, we were probably one of the first nonprofit organizations that already were based on a digital platform and remote engagement and those were kind of part of our original tenets back in 2007. So when the pandemic hit, there was a, 80% of NC3 was already remote work engagement, and we did a lot over the web and interaction. So really, the pieces that we had to add is we had to flip a couple things. We didn't have to change. We just had to flip from a logistics standpoint, rather than an instructor having to do some hands-on learning first and then do some knowledge and get that scope and sequence and repetition going. We flipped that sequence to where they were able to do some knowledge level stuff that we could do over the web and in students' homes and from instructors' kitchens or wherever. And then, and Gateway was part of this, is that as the colleges were able to, even during the pandemic, come back and do some hands-on, but maybe they could only do 3 students at a time and, all those logistic things, our system was already operating that allowed all that to happen. Now, what we did add was the virtual train-the-trainer, where rather than in person, utilizing Zoom or WebEx, all those things, and multiple cameras, we were able to still do that hands-on competency-based train-the-trainer. So what came out of that, and to your question, Greg, is that our ability to train these 1,000 instructors virtually, now that the secondary impact of that, the secondary effect of that was, is the instructors went, wow, if we can do this and we're learning how to do this, let's take this at the local level. And we've got a lot of schools that now are doing some of these virtual train-the-trainers and applying that to their instruction for the student that couldn't come in, or the bus schedules and those kind of things. So now going forward, we are definitely going to continue. What we learned from it is that, boy, there's some of our in-person train-the-trainer that can be delivered just as good virtually, maybe even a little bit better, because we can now engage that adjunct instructor that maybe couldn't travel before. So our ability to scale and scope to help a local school district has definitely increased probably by 200-300%. And now those same skill sets that our instructors go through, now they can do that with their local students. So we are, Brian, as you may or may not know, we're doing in-person train-the-trainer this week in Kenosha, obviously. But in 2 weeks, we're going to be running another virtual train-the-trainer for automotive diagnostics, and that works extremely well. And then in a couple of weeks after that, we'll be down at Wayne Community College in North Carolina to do an in-person one. And so we see the ability going forward over this next year to not only reach 1,000, but we may be able to reach a couple thousand instructors. And that, again, is what makes a difference in our communities.
Yeah, absolutely, Roger. And, you know, you're focused on some key highlights, probably very similar to what we learned in education, right? And I think if you summarize it all, it would be that we can do this. We can figure out a way to deliver technical education and training in a hybrid or virtual environment. And I know that as we look at what the progress of Gateway has been, while we're back face-to-face, and that's really important, we do see an increase in enrollment with face-to-face programs. So we know that our community wants to come back and have that interaction. To be truthful, our enrollment in our online programs is outpacing our face-to-face. So we've also learned that our students really like the online or the hybrid version. So we're going to keep doing both. And I think that's essentially what you're talking about, is that we can do it. We just have to find more platforms, and we reach more people that way.
Roger Tedievsky, what are the means by which you can kind of gauge the impact of your work with NC3? I mean, you've already touched on some of the responses that you've kind of gotten person to person, but what other sorts of feedback or tangible results can you point to in terms of knowing what kind of a difference you're making?
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I'll tell you, Greg, you know, especially this week, just kind of starting with the most recent this week, we've had so many instructors come up to me in the last couple of days there in Kenosha and give us these testimonials of a student that, especially during the pandemic, whether it was high-line electrical workers going through, say, Greenlee certifications on wire pulling and combined with some torque, that they got their jobs and they are out there working and they're proud they got their certifications, and that communication coming back to them, especially from their hiring manager, saying, wow, we need more of these, okay, to... when you think about automation, we've got so many companies that come back, especially students that have gone through level one, level two of industry 4.0 certification, and getting that feedback and saying, wow, we need more of these. I'll give you an example of Patrick Henry Community College down in Virginia, that short-term training. As they went through the pandemic, they had a program that's still up and running, funded by the governor's office, called Fast Forward. And they needed to get some, you know, as we are today still, get some workers into some of these automation. Patrick Henry was able to deliver those certifications, those competencies, and get those students out. And now that is accelerated to statewide, and that impact back from employers are going, wow, we need to continue to expand. The same thing with welding. There's a process that we work with schools on virtual welding, meaning the students learn how to weld with a virtual welder that cuts down the usage time and material time that really allows them to really practice. Well, Gateway does a great job. They're doing this, Sherry Utash and Wichita, and then they go into the actual welding booth with an actual welder. We're hearing numbers. There's a study being done in Kansas right now with the Kansas State, that the ability for a welder going through this training and then going into their first week, that the efficiency and the productivity is being improved by 30, 40, 50%. So, you know, that just is a great reflection back on our community colleges for what they're doing. Employers love that. That brings them back and says, how do we, you know, how do we help our colleges do more? That really solidifies and continues to build that social fabric in our communities around economic development. Again, helping these community colleges grow and become part of the center of excellence that they are, a core part of our communities and our regions. The stories are actually multiplying more and more. And it's exciting. We feature these on our website, Schools on the Rise, and different examples of this from across the country. So we've got just tremendous actual evidence of the success of this.
And I can say locally, too, not only we see the evidence of success, but it really helps to engage students and keep them enrolled in completion of their program. And I think it's a real credit to the enhancement that NC3 brings to the overall educational experience when you can increase graduation rates, job placement rates, maybe even opportunities to increase salaries for job interviews with those industry credentials. So there are a lot of measurable outcomes as a result of being a partner with NC3.
So we have just a minute or so, Roger Tadievsky, to tell us your vision for NC3 going forward. Are there any ways in which you see it growing or changing?
Absolutely. Well, growth, you know, we've got more and more schools. As I mentioned, we had not only the trainer, but we had to, we do a lot with our schools on benchmarking, you know, as I mentioned earlier, so that they don't feel like they're having this. So we had some schools in this week from North Central Missouri that came and benchmarked at Gateway, and they'll be out in Wichita. So those schools are growing as they take community funds to improve their programs, align with their industry, the regional industry that provides that piece of it. And then from a vision standpoint, we are working on some phenomenal things around data analytics, which is a big part of it, our artificial intelligence world that's coming, as well as our, you know, the transportation. The internal combustion engine is becoming more and more energy efficient in those. So those things are advanced. We have a hybrid piece. We have robotic welding. We have medical welding. You know, the things that 3M is working on within, you know, we think about how do we become more energy efficient? How do we take existing buildings and the deferred maintenance on them and not only fix that, but make them more energy efficient and get them ready for the Industry 4.0 world and sensors and technologies and those kind of things. And we think about our roads, our infrastructure. You know, every one of those roads has, you know, cement trucks rolling down a road and welders. But I think one of the things, Brian, that, you know, that came out of our virtual leadership last week and applies to all industry, but in this case was electrical, you know, Paul McAndrew from Greenlee said, you know, from the time energy's created, whether that's at a wind farm, a solar panel, hydraulic, you know, those pieces, gas-fired, from that where electricity is generated, by the time it gets to the plug in our house or the plug in our office that keeps our internet running, keeps our coffee maker running, charges our phones, all those things, that every day, 24/7, there's probably close to 1,000 people making sure that that network across our national grid is constantly working, upgraded at our local, regional, national providers, national grid, all those things. And of course, that same thing on how we get our bridges built. You know, we've got iron ore coming out of Duluth, Minnesota, all the way down to steel mills in Chicago, and that gets converted into product and materials that end up in our cell phones and our medical devices, and all through that supply chain, our tremendous skilled workers, tremendous communities. And so NC3 is not only part of it, we are really leading in new certification areas, like I said, of data analytics and AI in these areas. We are doing some great things, a new program around just coding for how do we help young kids learn the fundamentals of coding, as that will be part of their welding and so forth in the data. So we have a tremendous growth opportunity with quality and with focus on, again, that instructor. We never want to lose that part of our DNA and making sure that our instructor is always the most important part of everything that we do with our industry partners and our communication leaders, our education leaders, that the instructor and that engagement with our students are the center to everything we do.
Very well said. It's been great to catch up with you once again. Roger Tadievsky, Executive Director of the National Coalition of Certification Centers. I know Brian Albrecht welcomes each and every opportunity to reconnect.
Absolutely. Roger, thanks for your leadership. Thanks for including Gateway and part of the National Training Network. And we look forward to continued growth and support for all of our partnerships that we have here.
And President Brian Albrecht, the president of Gateway Technical College, great to have you here. Glad your voice recovered by the end from last night's festivities. It's always great to have you, and we look forward to next month.
Thank you, Greg.
I'm Greg Reberg.
Yep.
Tomorrow on the morning show, a walk through the Racine Zoo. And it is a special morning show that will be available for you to listen to over the air or to watch on WGTD's Facebook.